This is Anthony Wilson.
This is Monica Lewis Patrick, your water warrior.
Hi, this is Marcus Robinson, Collaborations Executive Director, and you are about to listen to
One Song Playlist,
brought to you today by the incomparable Dr. Anthony William Dunbar.
Hi, this is One Song Playlist, and I'm your host, Tony Dunbar. We appreciate you listening to OSPL, and for season one, we are featuring my favorite song, which is the 1970 hit Ooh Child by a Chicago family musical group, The Five Stair Steps. This is the second installment of our OSPL interview with Denise Dunbar Perkins and Cynthia Lau Rhodes, who happen to be my aunts. My aunt Denise is my father's youngest sibling, and my aunt Cynthia was married to one of my mother's five younger brothers, Dwayne. The unique caveat is that they were also high school classmates at Calumet High School in Chicago, class of 1968. During their time at Calumet, they were both in the school choir, which often won citywide competitions. They were also high school classmates with R&B vocalist Chaka Khan. The second segment picks up where we left off in part one, discussing the music and the times of the 60s and early 70s, along with providing funny anecdotes you can only get when you're talking among family. This episode was recorded in November of 2020, the week of Thanksgiving.
No, baby, we have seen some things. That's the reason these young folks come up and be talking their trash. And I just want to tell them, baby, you don't understand. I've already been at that address.
Yeah. Like Donny Hathaway used to say, I've been so many places in my life and time. Yeah.
Ooh, Lord.
It's good to kind of look back and remember, because it tells you you did come from somewhere. And
oh my
you
God.
Know, sometimes we forget that. You know, we know we're struggling in this pandemic. We're living in these, and you know, insane moments. But whatever we were before and whatever we did, even in our craziness as young people, was made a difference about who we are today.
You got that right, Denise, because you're right. Before we were even thought of, you know, God had plans for us. So we just didn't know it, but he protected us. He protected us because we have been through many dangers, toils, and snares. When I say many, many,
mm-hmm. Oh yes. Oh yes.
So and, since you took it to a, I'm sorry, Denise, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I could, you know, I'm a preacher. I could talk all day. So,
so the context you are bringing into the spiritual, let me throw a tidbit of information out. And you both graduated from Calumet in 1968. In 1968, which means in 2018, was the 50th anniversary of a song by the Edwin Hawkins Singers, which is one of my favorite songs, mm-hmm. called Oh Happy Day.
Happy Day, yes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That came out when you guys were graduating from, like right before you graduated. I think it came out in the spring, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. And that came out your senior year and in your first year of college time.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. Denise remembers all those old songs.
Yes, you know.
In fact, it was those songs and the old spirituals, because I think we all sang. Denise, you sang too, didn't you?
Yeah, I was in the a cappella and the Girls Glee.
Right, I was in Girls Glee. And in fact, I tell Tony about this all the time. Chaka.
Oh, yes, Yvette.
remember Miss McGee?
Oh yes.
So all let me, right. Well, for those don't realize it, my aunts went to school with a young lady named Yvette Stevens, who's about 2 years younger than them, and she's better known as Chaka Khan. So these stories they're about to tell is of her Yvette Stevens times.
I don't know if you remember, Cynthia. I was. Were you second soprano?
I was first soprano.
You were first soprano. Okay, I was first
and,
soprano.
And remember, they used to seat us according to our, she would test us. She was strict.
Yeah, on our rank, on making
on
sure
our range,
rank.
Right?
Well, I don't know if you do remember that Yvette Stevens wanted to try out for the choir. She would actually hang out in front of the in the hallway singing, trying to get a thing. And I remember telling her that she couldn't sing good enough to be in the choir. Now, I don't know if she remembers me or whatever, you know, like Denise who, but I did. I remember telling her, girl, you cannot sing like us.
Okay, that's what I, look, I be telling everybody. I said, look, I was number one first soprano in Girls Glee. Yvette, I don't even know where she was.
Yeah, we wouldn't let her even try out because we said her voice was too strange. So that's and so, you know, maybe we can get to visit her villa in France and apologize.
Well, she, one of her, you know, she had a group back then. And she had formed a singing group, and they were real Afrocentric. And one of the girls that was in the singing group with her, Veronica, that was her name.
Okay.
She used to, oh my God, she had a thing for me. I mean, that girl, she wanted, well, anyway, to make a long story short, she was a singer too, and to this day, she sings backup, I think, for Shaka.
Oh, okay. So she got a longtime friend. Good. That's good to hear. You
no,
know.
No. She wanted to date my little boyfriend back then.
Oh, okay. So that was difficult. Yeah. You know, don't mess with Bill, as they say. Oh yeah, there were some adventures, and you know, our choir, Miss McGuire, that was her name, and you know,
McGuire, right? Miss McGuire
passed. Like, I think she passed right after our. She was still alive when we had
reunion.
Yeah, I think she passed right because Randy Twilley always kept us updated. On
oh no, Randy! Now that boy was talented.
Oh, you talking about a tenor that could sing his socks off? Yeah.
He was talented.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And we, you know, we were really into the singing, and I appreciated the fact that she trained us on how to hear music, listen to it,
yes,
appreciate it. And I really think that that's part of the grounding that we have on how we see the world and how we hear, not just musically, but
I remember Denise, people need people.
Yes.
We used to take competition in Wind City all the time.
Oh, we certainly did. We were always up on the top. And a lot of us, we more people than other schools, we end up in all city choir.
Right.
Irvin Bunton. So, you know, we were, the songs and music was part of who we are. I actually have a reputation of when I'm preaching, sometimes I sing some things when the spirit moves me, and people, since I'm a Presbyterian up here in Minnesota, it's mostly white churches. So I have to train them that, no, that's not entertainment. That's part of, you know, they go, no, I'm preaching to you, and you better listen. And if the music comes in, it's because it's part of who I am, and it tells a story.
Yes, yes.
But it's, you know, learning how to hear and understand and focus on that. And like I said, this old child song, you know, I just heard this the other day. There's a newscast here that they give you updates on people who had COVID and people who have recovered. You know, talk about people who have passed, but they also to give hope. And guess what song they play in the background? Ooh, Child.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I heard one last week. You know, they're talking about somebody who went through, you know, was on the respirator and ECMO and all that stuff and recovered. And then I'm hearing this go, ooh, child, in the background. So I think that's fascinating.
That's beautiful, Tony. That's an awesome song. I actually, for for a now period.
Well, that's kind of the inspiration behind the thought of the podcast. So this summer in my COVID moments, I walk in trying to, you know, not gain 150 pounds, maybe keep it down to 98 pounds of COVID weight, right? So in my walk-in and getting out and couldn't go to the health club at the time, and being a Dunbar that's into music, I developed a playlist. I started looking for that song because it really fired me up. And I found a bunch of versions, like 15 versions, and I saved them. And then I just created a playlist. And then I started walking to that YouTube playlist. And then I had created one before that of Oh Happy Day, which is another one of my songs. So then I said, wait a minute. Then the concept started coming together. Then in my ancestor reminiscing of my late mother, I remember her talking about, not really talking about, here's the, let me be truthful. So my mother loved this song by Hall and Oates called Sarah Smile. And she had it on a 45 right after my parents got a divorce. And she would play that because back then you could set your turntable and it would repeat an album or a song. It would just play it over. So I knew either my mom was either dealing with something or getting ready to clean the house if I heard the song twice in a row, right?
Okay.
So my cue to make my move to get out the crib, particularly if she's one of them cleaning moves.
Yeah.
If I heard Daryl Hall and Oates, Sarah Smile. If I heard that a second time, a brother was like, tipping to the door to try to get
him. I was going to say, Tony Lee.
Right. So she would clean the whole house all day or whatever she was dealing with for hours on that one song. And I started reminiscing about this and it started coming together for me inside the current technology of the day. One song playlist. So, and I wanted to talk to people. I have another podcast coming out called Organic Intellectual. But this one, I thought that the interviews could have a different twist just from launching from a certain perspective. And let's just see where it happens. So I started thinking of cool connections to the songs or the times or folks who may be able to relate to it from different points and times in their life. Because the song, I was 8 when it came out. And I used to bug my dad, my Aunt Denise's oldest brother. Like every time it comes on, you know how a kid loses his mind? Play it again, play it again, play it again. And it was the radio. Like, dude, I can't play it again. It's the radio. Right?
Well, right at that time, Tony, is when the floppy disks, they used to call it a floppy disks, came out when they had first started using, you know, the floppy disks.
IBM floppies, like 3.5s. No, 7.5s.
Yeah, they were floppy
big.
Discs.
Almost big. 45.
They were, yes, that's right. Exactly. They came out in the 70s.
So I'm going to pivot a little bit. So post 1970, right behind that 1971, Marvin Gaye came out with What's Going On. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, in 1970, the United States expanded the Vietnam War into Cambodia. Yeah. So then 72 came, and then Nixon's running for re-election, and now he's about to make that Watergate mistake, and then have all kind of rhythm and blues songs talking about him, including a James Brown cut called Watergate. So around that time, you guys were finishing up college. You want to tell how you ended your college years and how you transitioned into work life, and people will actually find out how my young Black aunt moved to Minnesota, and all of us said, huh?
Including myself. coming, that's the thing. I was so young when I left Chicago, but one of the things I also realize is that no matter how long I've been away from Chicago, people ask me where I'm from and they want me to say, oh, I'm from Minneapolis. I am from Minneapolis. I'm Chicago, and that's ground into you. You know, it's inbred into you. And everything that I do still reflects that South Side of Chicago. And moving up to Minnesota I was supposed to move there for 18 months. And that was in 1979. So I'm a few months off from being there. But I came up there. I got a job. I had a degree in biology, got a job with Pillsbury, went up there. Because of the background that I had in science, I got a job as a lab supervisor, moved up to Minneapolis, became a person where I was the first in everything. You know, I was a quality assurance manager, and I spent a lot of time showing up at places where Black folks, and especially a Black woman, had never been. And so I can tell you some stories about.
I know you can.
Oh yeah, talking to people on the phone for several days or weeks, and then they come up to meet me, and I come out to meet them, and they assume that I'm the secretary instead of me. You know, those kind of things. But as life went on, I made a lot of changes in my life, as Tony knows. And I think one of the other songs that really influenced me, especially in my next career, was Wake Up Everybody.
Wake Up Everybody.
Harold Melvin in the Blue Note.
Yeah, you know, telling the teachers and the preachers, and, you know, get up and do your job. And after about 15 years, there were some events that happened that allowed me to go back to college, and I became a teacher. And here's where we have this, things are going to look easier. I had a chance to teach in the main high schools, and I did for a while, but I spent one semester in a school, what they call the alternative schools, where the bad kids go, you know, and fell in love with them little scrawny things, because they had the energy, they had the intelligence, but everybody was kicking them to the curb. And that's why I stayed my entire teaching career, was the ones who had been pushed aside. And I learned so much from them about what really mattered to them and how they could create their own future that may not look like everybody else's, but that they had the gifts and talents. And they taught me more than I did. And the precursor to that was then a 9/11 shifted my whole focus in a way that I didn't realize, when there was so much tragedy around me, and I had to figure out who I am and where I'm at, and, you know, dealing with the kids. And I realized many of these children, even with the 9/11, they're looking at that and going, yeah, bad things happen to everybody, because these kids were Black. And it's a horrible thing, but it's like, you know, so, you know, same thing like with George Floyd. You know, white people say, oh, this is so terrible. And we're going, yeah, it's terrible. Just like the last 10 million Black folks that got killed in the last 400 years. So I took that in, and I ended up in seminary, and that's a long, strange story. And
I know it was the Holy Ghost setup, baby. That's what it was.
You speaking the truth, Cynthia. And becoming a minister, and, you know, growing up Baptist and ended up in the Presbyterian Church, and you learn some things. Like, I learned that in the southeastern part of the country, most Black people are Presbyterian, and they are just as Presbyterian as we were Baptist. It taught me some things about our Black experience. But Lord have mercy, it took me in a place I had no idea I was going, which was into the hospital. And I can start that story. I don't know if you want me to go into that.
No, we'll circle back. I'm going to go to Cynthia and let her take us through some of her post-Carbondale education degree background and her teaching, and bring us forward a little bit as far as her background as a world-renowned educator as well.
This is the thing. I knew that I was going to be a teacher at a young age, because I always had a love and a passion for children. So when I graduated, I was like rocketed. Soon as I graduated, I was placed. And I was placed in a place called Cabrini Green. And Cabrini Green was, believe me, they gave me a classroom where all, you know how they put all of the, they can't do nothing with the kids in one classroom. Well, this was a classroom of fourth graders that were at least 11, 12, I would say some of them were 13 years old, with very deep emotional problems. But I used to come home, and then when I was at SIU, I was trained to go.
Cynthia, you muted yourself. You left off at SIU, you were trained.
Right, the way I was trained, right? So I tried to go and to do some house visits in that high rise right across from Jenner. And I promise you, the smell before I can even enter the building, I mean, it was unbelievable. So I wasn't the kind of teacher that was like, don't ever threaten me, I cannot touch your child. Because I will snatch him up in 1 minute and put his butt right there in that seat where he belonged and dare him. So I was one of those kind of teachers, you know, because that's what they needed. And I was also pregnant with Dwayne, little Dwayne, your cousin Dwayne. So I was pregnant. I was coming home with nosebleeds, saying, you know, this is not what's going on here. And I remember writing to Mayor Byrne. I think she was the
Jane
mayor.
Jane Byrne.
They could not believe the fact that that building was against fire code and everything else, and that at least 20 people were living in one apartment. They were barbecuing in their bathtubs. And when you walked in, there was only one working elevator, one. So she called herself, I give her credit. She moved in to see what it was about. So I give her credit for that. But after that, that was a challenge. So I came out of college, got married to your uncle. I'm pregnant and started my career all in the same year. And that's when my journey started. It's a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of stuff that has happened between that point and now.
So one of those things, you won some awards and you matriculated through the school systems in an upward trajectory. Did you want to share anything about the progression of your teaching and what happened from there?
So Denise, you know how God kind of say not yet, you know, when you want to throw your hands up, he'll say, you know, not yet, because I had just finished with, I was a precinct captain. I've always been into justice, you know, and ministry and all of that. But I thank God for my relationship that my mother and father introduced me to God. So her God became my God. And I went through a spiritual reformation that was just unbelievable. So I was able, Tony, people would not believe I was a principal and a teacher
at the same time.
At the same time.
Okay.
So I would have to go and take care of school business and leave my children, literally. And the district superintendent would walk by and say, you know, this is unbelievable. She would bring people from all over, because I used to tell my children, and they knew I loved them. I loved every one of them. I said, but it matters not how you act when I'm looking at you. What matters is how you act when I'm not. And I'm not going to be standing over you looking, because the proof would be in the pudding. And I also told them that their eyes were it could be the menace. So if I see your eyes roaming around and not on your book, you better fake it till you make it, even if your own life was in front of you. I want to see your eyes down where it's supposed to be. So, but anyway, to make a long story short, God blessed me after so many challenges with a classroom of 40 gifted, truly, that you talking about some kids that were teaching me, they were teaching me. These kids were truly gifted. So they wrote a curriculum.
What around what time was this, Auntie?
1986. Okay. In 1986, I was one in 10 that was chosen to go to Japan because of the curriculum that my children wrote.
Wow.
To compare cultures. And it was no small feat. It was really beautiful. I mean, I was there, you know, they took me to the kabukis, to all the fine schools over there. I was able to sit down with their emperors. In fact, I stayed at fancy hotels, but I also stayed with the sister of the vice president and founder of Mitsubishi, which we became very good friends. She called me her American sister. And so she's come back to visit me a couple of times. But those children afforded me a 14-day round trip, all expense paid, trip to Japan in order for me to represent the United States and compare the culture and how they learned and all of that. So in 1989 is when I won the International Cole Award. And I was honored to have received that 1 in 10 teachers internationally. And they asked me again, how did I do it? I thought I taught a multidisciplinary curriculum through art. In other words, they learned geometry, they learned math, they learned reading. So even the children who were challenged, like you were talking about, Denise, my expectation was never lowered because they had some kind of challenge. So their scores, they actually thought that I was teaching them the test, but their scores from that jumped 4 years in 6 months.
Hmm.
Wow. Wow. So that
I tapped into their spirit, baby. You have to tap into a child's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. That's awesome. That is awesome. It's funny how our lives parallel, because I've taught at the grammar school, the college, and in the adult development level. So when I hear Cynthia talk about the children actually being part of the community of learners as far as contributors, I do something from my intellectual background here, Ferrarian pedagogy, where it's kind of a creator model. The people who are the learners are part of through their experience, are creating their curriculum to a certain degree. And those, even if they're in, if you only do that to a small degree, it's amazing what can come out of it, particularly if you have a little vision about it. And I'm not great at it, and sometimes I can't get out of my own way, but if you set up the structure, it doesn't matter. You can set up the structure for the creativity to flow, not because of you, but in spite of you in those states. But again, it's a time, takes time to hone your craft in that. So I can appreciate both of you as educators. So
well, let me say this, Tony, with my first master's, Denise, my thesis was children learn from children. So I did a lot with peer group tutoring, you know, and in fact, we would have groups, you know, where if one didn't get it, I helped the other one responsible for them not getting it. And they would get it because the points would be taken off. They made sure that child got that.
You've just listened to
One Song Playlist.
Brought to you today by the incomparable Dr. Anthony William Dunbar.
I'm Tony Dunbar, host of One Song Playlist, and thank you for listening to part two of our OSPL interview with Denise Dunbar Perkins and Cynthia Lau Rose. There are four parts to our interview with my two aunts. Parts 1 and 2 will be available to the general public and Tier 1 subscribing members of our One Song Playlist Patreon community. On Patreon, you can support this podcast as a subscriber. For more information and to subscribe, go to patreon.com/onesongplaylist. That's patreon.com/onesongplaylist. There is also great information on our One Song Playlist website, which is onesongplaylist.com.